Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Up in the attic on a Friday, Wilbon, we're going to start with the NFL draft, and we're going to go to the top of the NFL draft and Joe Burrow. NFL.com has a story quoting an unnamed NFC coach saying that drafting Joe Burrow at number one is, quote, a high risk. What the guy says in evaluating Burrow is that he had a pro coach last year to help him. He had the best talent in the country, and he's a great processor. But what he says about Burrow's arm is that he can't pump it downfield. That's one of the quotes. Another one is, I'd love to have him as a second or third round, not number one. Do you see the logic in this?
No. And I don't hang on every opinion put out there by every GM and assistant GM and draft, Nick. I don't care, because I keep coming back with, what round was Tom Brady drafted in? Tell me again. And you know, Tony, even a guy, don't you remember late, when Joe Montana was coming out of Notre Dame, one of the reasons he slipped out of, you know, if he was ever in the first round, is because people said these same sort of things. Well, he's quick, he can process, he can do this, he can do that, but his arm strength, I don't know. Hey, sorry, not paying attention. Did we not just see Joe Burrow have, against the best talent in America, one of the great, if not the greatest, seasons of all time? So if you want to just throw out the results of his college career, I guess one could do that. I'm not going to.
See, what I find interesting about this, and I think it's a good story, I don't agree with it, but I find it interesting, is they're not talking about the size of his hands. They're talking about arm strength. This guy is saying when he throws it deep, it wobbles, and that makes him worry. Now, the Cincinnati Bengals offensive coordinator said of Burrow's arm, it's more than enough. But it's food for thought in this regard, Mike. When he was at Ohio State, he got beat out, and he had to leave, and he went to LSU. Got beat up by Dwayne Haskins, I think. When he went to LSU his first year, he was sort of ordinary. So maybe this guy, Joe Brady, actually is a quarterback whisperer. My own feeling is similar to yours. He not only had a great season, he was greater in the biggest games. I find myself rooting for this kid, but it's, you know, you hear stuff like this all the time around the draft. It just, had it been an AFC coach, I would have worried, because it could have been a Cincinnati coach from the AFC. But this is draft talk, right? It's draft talk.
Tony, 12, 13 years ago, I remember us having a story on this here program about a young man named Jay Cutler. And he talked about how his arm was stronger than John Elway's arm. And we talked about that. And people said, oh, he's got this great arm. He can really, how many playoff games did Jay Cutler win? So what are we talking about here with arm strength? Look, I know that this is what evaluators get paid to do. They get paid to nitpick. And if you don't nitpick, you can wind up, you can wind up with a disaster on your hands. But Joe Burrow and arm strength, I'm just shaking my head, not paying attention to that. Tony, let's stay on college quarterbacks for a second. Former USC starting quarterback JT Daniels has entered the transfer portal. Seems like everybody but you and I have entered that thing. Quarterbacks like Joe Burrow transfer all the time these days. Does this freedom of movement, Tony, hurt or help college football?
I think it helps it enormously. It gives college football a hot stove league, which they've never had before. It allows kids a second chance, sometimes even a third chance. The last three number one picks in the draft, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and now Joe Burrow, they all transferred. To me, the most important position in football is quarterback. You know, at Northwestern, you always wonder, do we have a good quarterback this year? If you can sort of pick and choose this way, I think it's wonderful, actually. You don't?
I think we just got a transfer portal guy at Northwestern for this year. I think we did. We do if there's a college football season. No, I think this is great. I mean, look at Russell Wilson. I mean, who was a, you know, back then, all the way back then, you know, close to 10 years ago, there was like the one guy would do this. And every year, Tony, that number has increased. And, you know, not exponentially, but it does increase. I think it helps, you know, we remember when, and particularly in college basketball, this doesn't happen anymore because the talent is so spread out. But I mean, you know, coaches like Dean Smith and Dean was already picked as one, and John Wooden, they could have a third string guy who wanted to go to that school and play for that coach, and he might get to play or not. You know, you think about Sven Nader, you think about a guy like him. And then in basketball, that stopped for the most part 15, 20 years ago. And football, this transferring the rules and the eligibility have come close to stopping it, certainly slowing it. This is good for the product, for the competitive level of college football.
No, I like it. I wonder about kids who make the wrong choices, who go to a school, who get beat out, and they never had the opportunity to go anywhere else, and their dreams were killed. In this particular thing, this is the second chance in America. I think we all root for these kids. I think you root for Jalen Hurts. Tua beats him out. He leaves Alabama. He goes to Oklahoma. He almost wins the Heisman. Trevor Lawrence is the exception to the rule, but he beat out Justin Fields, right? Yes. This to me is the best. It's one of the best things about college football.
Really good rule.
Let's stay with football, but go to the pros. Yesterday on First Take, Leonard Fournette, who's the number one running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars, he said he thought his team should sign free agent quarterback Cam Newton. He said, and this is so great, I don't mean any disrespect to Gardner Minshew. Really? Okay. But he used this quote, I'm just trying to get in the best position as a team, unquote. Wilbon, do you think the Jaguars will listen to Leonard Fournette?
Not at all. The Jaguars barely know Leonard Fournette's in the building, and he's one of their best players. Football players don't get to have this sort of decision-making input, Tony. Once again, to compare it to basketball, it ain't the NBA. And a lot of these guys grow up because they're two-sport athletes still, and they played basketball, or they know people who made it to the show in basketball, and they do have input. Because the best basketball players, you don't even have to be LeBron James. You can say, hey, we need to have this. And you know what, Tony? It matters. It registers at least a little bit. It doesn't in football. And Leonard Fournette's not Emmitt Smith. They don't care what he has to say. They can barely care in the NFL what the quarterback has to say. So, no, Leonard Fournette is not going to have any input that amounts to jack.
So I like Cam Newton. I would sign Cam Newton. But
I like
understand
too.
If the Jaguars are informed by what just happened. They went into the free agent market. They got Nick Foles. Nick Foles was awful. They got rid of Nick Foles. To go back into the free agent market for a big-name, big-money quarterback 2 years in a row, especially in Cam Newton, somebody who has physical problems, you may shy away. They have the number 9 pick, I believe. If they really want a quarterback, they can get one of the top 4 quarterbacks on the board, probably at number 9. I agree with you. They're not going to listen to Leonard Fournette at all. And there are a lot of people out there, Mike, who think that they, the Jaguars, are getting rid of talented people, that they may be tanking for Trevor. That may be what they're doing. And by the way, if you go to the last story that we just talked about, both Cam Newton and Gardner Minshew are guys who transferred. If I'm Gardner Minshew, Mike, and I'm in a huddle with Leonard Fournette, do you think I'm happy? Do you think I'm happy now?
No, you're not happy with him. But, Tony, that decision may be made, and all those factors you mentioned, you know, will be made with Cam, but at a lot higher level than Mr. Fournette. Sorry to inf- – no disrespect to Leonard Fournette, but he ain't making that call. All right? Enough football talk. I need some basketball talk, so we're going to go to this. Ethan Strauss's new book, Tony, The Victory Machine. He writes that the Warriors, the Dubs, offered Steph Curry and Klay Thompson for Chris Paul back in 2011. The deal never went down, of course, mainly because Chris reportedly indicated he wouldn't re-sign at that time with Golden State. Be honest, Tony, in 2011, if you're Golden State, would you have made this deal? Are you not thrilled, of course, you won 3 championships, not making this deal?
So it's hard to be honest because it's a long way back. It's a long way back. Klay Thompson was a rookie and Steph Curry was heading into his third year. As you know, I have not loved Chris Paul the way you and many others do. I've looked at teams he's on and I haven't seen them win all that many games. So I think I would have shied away from it for this particular reason. Steph Curry in 2 years was 44% from three, and that's gold. That's gold. I wouldn't have known about Klay Thompson, but, Mike, they are both the sons of NBA players, and I think I would have bet on that DNA, and I'd have kept them both.
That's probably what I would have said as well. And yes, you know, Chris Paul is one of my favorite players in the NBA for years and years. Yeah. And you know, he's doing something right now with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, which is interesting, Tony. And maybe they would do more if there ever were playoffs than he perhaps got accomplished with more famous players, more celebrated players in Houston and Los Angeles. But I want to go to something else for a second because we agree. Tony, these kinds of deals are talked about in the NBA every day. Not just by fans. You talk about all the time how, my God, in the NBA, people talk about who they might get. They worry about that more than who they have. Remember when Kobe Bryant did an interview with somebody? I think it was Rick Bucher back in the day. You can go back 4 years earlier because I think it was like 2007 or something like that, where Kobe said he wanted to go to Chicago. He wanted to go play for the Bulls, I'm sure, to sort of follow up and see if he could do what his idol and mentor Michael Jordan had done in Chicago. And that was a thing. Kobe was going to go to the Bulls, except last I checked, Kobe played all 20 seasons in L.A. So these things pop up in the NBA every day with every player alive, except for maybe Russell, Jordan, LeBron. Every player is traded in somebody's mind every day in pro basketball, except it never happens. It's fun to talk about years later, but it don't happen.
So the other thing that I would say is Joe Lacob, the owner of Golden State, is always blathering about how his team is light years ahead, light years ahead. They weren't light years ahead on this if they made this offer. They were lucky. It worked out great. They got three championships out of it and the greatest shooting backcourt in the history of the NBA. But spare me the notion that you knew what you were doing on this, because I don't think you did.
But my point is you got to get lucky. I mean, you have to, everybody's going to trade somebody. Your mentor, the great Larry Brown, to your ear, and because I was tagging along with you to my ear, how many times did he trade his point guard before the game that night? How many times did he pick up?
Always.
Yeah.
How many
every
games
night.
A year? 82? 82
games. That's exactly right. Are we done with this segment? I lost track, Tony. I lost track if we were done or not.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Let's put on the glasses. Let's do the happies. Happy 59th birthday, Boomer Esiason, Long Island's own, East Islip High School, where he played football, basketball, and baseball, then the University of Maryland, then the Cincinnati Bengals, where he was the league MVP in 1988, almost beat Joe Montana in Super Bowl 23, until Montana found John Taylor in the end zone real late. The name on Esiason's birth certificate is Norman Julius Esiason, but he probably wouldn't even turn around if he yelled out, "Hey, Norman!" He made the Pro Bowl four times. He ended up with 247 touchdown passes, 184 interceptions. After his playing career ended, Esiason went to the booth, and he's been in broadcasting ever since. He's on the CBS pregame show now. Wilbon, the first beat you ever covered for the Washington Post was Maryland football. Tell the people about your friend Boomer Esiason.
My first day on that beat, my first day, Jerry Claiborne named Norman Esiason the starting quarterback at the University of Maryland, and I covered every game he played in college, and I went up to him, and I shook his hand, and I said, "Hi, I'm Mike Wilbon, I'm a new beat writer." I'm 2 years older than Boomer, by the way, that's all. And I said, "What do I call you?" It says Norman. And he said, "Listen to me, if we're going to get along, never, ever call me Norman. I am Boomer." And I thought, this guy's great. And I've gotten to know his whole family. I love him. It's been how many years? I mean, it's closing in on 40 years that I've known Boomer, and I always wish him nothing but the best. And I have that helmet, Tony, the helmet you see up there in the screen. I have one of those helmets from Boomer at home in a nice show-off place, as you know.
Happy anniversary, Tim Couch, Donovan McNabb, Akili Smith. On this day 21 years ago, these quarterbacks were taken 1, 2, 3 in the draft. It was the first time three straight quarterbacks were taken at the top of the draft since 1971, when the trio was Jim Plunkett, Archie Manning, and Dan Pastorini. In this case, Cleveland took Couch, Philadelphia took McNabb, and Cincinnati took Smith. Only McNabb earned out, taking the Eagles to 5 NFC Championship games and a Super Bowl. Couch and Smith were busts. This goes to your point, Wilbon, that the draft isn't science, that Justin Herbert could be better than Tua. Of course, it also matters what team you go to. Plunkett wasn't much with the team that drafted him, the Patriots, but he won 2 Super Bowls with the Raiders. Archie Manning didn't have a chance with the porous offensive line of the Saints.
And Dante Pastorini, wasn't he the coolest of those first three guys? Even though Plunkett, 2 Super Bowls, come on. I mean, this is insane. Tony McNabb, of course, a good Chicago kid, Catholic League, wrong school, Mount Carmel. We won't get into that. But like a lot of Chicago people, he wandered out here to the desert. So Chicagoans, McNabb, he's out here too.
Happy trails, Cole Anthony. The North Carolina freshman point guard, the son of Greg Anthony, will leave college and enter the NBA draft, where he is projected to be a possible lottery pick. Anthony's one season at Chapel Hill was marred by injury and the worst one-loss record by any Roy Williams team at North Carolina. The Tar Heels were 14-19 overall, 6-14 in the ACC. Cole Anthony played in 22 games, missing 11 because of a knee injury. He averaged 18.5 points, 5.7 rebounds, and 4 assists. Greg Anthony, you'll remember, was on a national championship team at UNLV and then went to the pros as a first-round pick at number 12 by the New York Knicks. Wilbon, I wonder when Greg and Cole play one-on-one, who do you think wins?
Well, I know who wins now. I want to ask Greg at what stage Cole just took it to him and he said, okay now, and blessed it. You know, Tony, I wonder about Greg Anthony and those UNLV guys. If Christian Laettner and Duke don't win, they don't beat Vegas, and Laettner has won, is it Larry Johnson? Is it Greg Anthony? One of those guys might have been on the dream team and not Laettner with only one championship. I mean, Cole Anthony is fabulous. Greg Anthony had a long, distinguished career, so he's still got a ways to go to beat Pop, his Pop, in that regard. You know what? We're going to get to the NBA draft further down the line, the WNBA draft tonight, Tony, right here on ESPN.
Tremendous promotion, Wilbon. Tremendous
promotion.
You like
that? Company guy.